Hi, and welcome back to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 322. So today I have probably the most important guest I have ever had on the show. Her name is Leticia Souza. She is my fiance, and not only my fiance, but she is the VP of Finance at Uploan, which we're going to talk about. And also I've got her on the show to explore the startup and fintech world of the Philippines and how it connects into the global startup and VC marketplace. So I was a little nervous when I started this conversation, but I think we had an absolutely fantastic conversation, and it's really good insight into the startup community, into the fintech and VC community, which is, like most things, becoming more and more globalized. So it's a great conversation to have that perspective with Leticia, and also to hear about what Uploan is up to. It's a fintech here in the Philippines, catering to the Philippine employment market. And of course, we hear more about that. As always, if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Okay, hi and welcome back, everybody. Today I am introducing a very special guest onto the podcast. Some fun facts to start her off. She is the VP of Finance at Uploan, which we'll get onto a little bit later. She is Brazilian, living in the Philippines, and she is also my fiance. Her name is Leticia Souza. And Leticia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure to finally be here. Super excited to talk to you.
Leticia, I wanted to get you on the show not only because you're my fiance, but you have a long experience within the finance sector, within the fintech sector, and also the startup community here in the Philippines. So I think it's valuable for people in the outsourcing industry, whether they are within the Philippines or, of course, offshore, to realize the potential here, both within people, within the startup community, and within commerce generally. And to realize that actually there's a huge depth of skill and talent and business being done in the Philippines. So I'm hoping you can help us orientate through the startup and fintech community. Leticia, initially, it would be amazing if you could just give us a brief introduction of your background and how you found yourself here in the Philippines.
Sure, Derek, I'll be super excited to talk a little bit more about that. So my background, as you are familiar, is more on... initiated my career back in Brazil, just basically working on the traditional M&A side of the investment banking industry. Then right after, I ended up landing into the debt capital markets. For folks that are not familiar with that, is basically project management of debt issuances for clients that are looking for basically sources of liquidity with the public market. And that was a very similar type of work of what I started to do here in the Philippines in this fintech and what I do until this point. So long story short, I was in investment banking, a little bit bored about the prospect of career growth, as is very traditional nowadays. Kids don't want to be in investment banking anymore. They want to be doing venture capital. They want to be doing startups. And I naturally ended up being connected to a few investors that already had presence here in Southeast Asia. So naturally, what happens is that fintechs and not in startups in general, they establish their headquarters in Singapore and become operational across Southeast Asia. So, and another thing that happens quite often is to hire multicultural teams. So that was a natural type of a progression in my career. So I ended up landing in the Philippines, basically being responsible for building the fundraising strategy for what we call under the fintech, which I'm more than happy to dive deeper shortly on the main buckets in the fintech industry. But I'm now working with the alternative lending landscape. So yeah, long story short, that was pretty much how I ended up in the Philippines. And now I'm super excited with this project in Upload, and that we're also an alternative lender, operational in the salary loans and employee benefits provider.
Previously, you know, all of the startup activity was really just happening in Silicon Valley, maybe New York, but mostly in the US, and slowly it's spreading out across the globe. You come from Brazil, which is an emerging market, into Philippines, which is also an emerging market. But now there's increasing activity, VC and startup activity happening in the Philippines and across Southeast Asia. Finally, you know, and we're also seeing Sequoia and we're seeing Andreessen Horowitz and a lot of the big players now focusing on Southeast Asia. What do you think are the benefits of, like, why are people finally looking at Southeast Asia for startups and opportunities?
What I actually think about the fundraising scene here for venture capital in Southeast Asia, Derek, is more a liquidity that comes from elsewhere. So Asia, so the liquidity that comes from China, from Middle East, is enough and even bigger than the liquidity that we have in America. So coming from a developing economy that had mainly the sources of the traditional investors, meaning US, Canada, and European funds. Here in Southeast Asia, we have this very diverse type of liquidity sources. So I think the liquidity was always there, but it wasn't, it wasn't extremely aware for the traditional VC, private equity industry that in the West we usually see more often. But as we all know, like all these big, not only fintech names, but startup names that only thrive in China, and they are basically funded by Chinese players. So there is, I think the West is undergoing this discovery process of Southeast Asia as a potential next hot market, not only Latin America, which or Africa, that were the main focus of investors that were looking for returns, right, or high yield assets to invest. So I think it's more like being aware, becoming a little bit more aware to the West, but the market was always here. So
yeah. I think America, you know, always thought all the action was in America until China came along and you know, there's more unicorns now in China than there are in the US, and all of the mega companies seem to be, not all, but obviously there's a lot of mega companies now arising out of China. And of course, that helps to shine the light a little bit on the Southeast Asian region. And Southeast Asia is, of course, you know, it's not as affluent as the developed world, but it's a huge population. It's a young population. And the Philippines, for example, has good English language. So they're good sort of testing grounds for other markets as well. And how would you see, you know, if you could paint a picture of the startup and tech community in the Philippines, what do you see here? You know, obviously there's fintech, but how would you see the distribution of the startup scene here?
Sure. You basically pointed out all of the items that would be included in a traditional pitch for the fundraising a scene here in Southeast Asia. So basically the fact that the majority of the countries here have been growing in a pace of at least 5% per year for years. Of course, 2020 was an outlier in that regard. But the young population, so here I am talking about Southeast Asia as a whole, but the Philippines is even more, even a more special case for these factors that you mentioned. So being an English-speaking country, being extremely similar in terms of cultural aspects to the West. So you don't have, and you have a lot of unity in terms of religion, culture. You don't have like the same things that the challenges that we have in Indonesia, for example, that you have like several religions, and then you have specific financial system for the Muslims, and you have Bali, which is a completely different, it's almost like a country inside Indonesia. So the Philippines are definitely positioned as one of the best players to receive investments now. And the country, specifically on, once again, on the financial services segment, it's extremely well supported by regulatory bodies that are also aligned to bring the Philippines to the next level in order to receive more funding from international investors. So the Central Bank of the Philippines is composed by a super progressive type of individuals. SEC, which is also another regulatory body, is always trying to create a flexible type of regulations in order to really enhance the ecosystem here on the fintech industry. So yeah, and I think the macroeconomics are there. You have a lot of so a long story short, basically the macroeconomics growth are there. You have a fast growing young population, and the fact that you have cultural synergies to the West, along with the fact that they also speak English here, is definitely a differential for the Philippines when we think about where to allocate money across emerging economies.
And so we're seeing now it's a hotbed of startups. And I think 20, 30 years ago, no one knew what a startup was. No one knew what a pitch competition was. No one knew what a VC was. So I think it's kind of flavor of the decade for everyone to be aspiring to be a part of a startup, to pitch to VCs, and to get involved in this ecosystem. So it's probably no surprise that there is a healthy startup ecosystem within the Philippines. But again, I think it's valuable for people to realize that, you know, whatever is in the West, whatever is in the US or the UK is also here in the Philippines. It's accessible in the Philippines, and you have very capable and highly qualified people in the Philippines that are doing and building all of these things. What would how would you speak of in terms of the human resource, the people here? that are building these startups, the innovation and the caliber of people that are fueling this startup scene?
That is a fantastic question, Derek. I think I've never seen, it's, and of course I'm being extremely biased because, as you mentioned, I'm working in the finance, financial services industry with finance folks, right? So the quality of the workforce, especially on these accounting, finance, data analysis, financial planning, bookkeeping, is extremely amazing. So I haven't seen the amount of talents that we have in such a high level. So what you would compare to, let's say, a workforce that is coming from investment banking in Brazil, for example, is what you get from the talents that are coming from the Big Four or from any audit firm here in the Philippines. It is seen as a career, especially on the accounting and finance field, it is seen as a very glamorous type of career, because they know that they are going to be working for Canadian firms, or they're going to be working with Australian firms, or with the US accounting regulations. So the fact that I can communicate with them, because they all know about IFRS, they all have a full understanding of what are those rules that are basically across the board, which make the communication start from an upper level, because we're all talking, it doesn't matter what is our background, we all know what is US GAAP, or we all know what PFRS 9 stands for. So it is extremely fantastic what the Philippines has in terms of the talents for the accounting finance segment. But of course, we also have fantastic talents that are also more involved in the tech industry, which is another field that I always come across quite often. So product managers, engineers, focus on basically developing and maintaining platforms, QA. So these are this is actually a fantastic job that the Philippines has been doing. I think the only focus that we need to have as, and then I put myself as a responsible for that, is to ensure that we offer the opportunities for them to develop themselves here, because basically what they are so good that they end up going to spend some time in Singapore, or spend some time in the Silicon Valley or California, and then come back to find better opportunities once they have this experience abroad. So I am extremely satisfied and even amazed by the quality of the workforce here.
There seems a bit of a trend that, you can't generalize, but often the funding is foreign. There's not really any kind of active VCs, or very few within the Philippines. A lot of the funding is foreign. It could be Southeast Asia centric. It could be from Singapore, or it could be, from North America, pushing into this region. A lot of the funding is foreign. And then you find that a lot of the founders can also be foreign. And I don't want to generalize, and I don't want to put myself in the wrong here, but it seems that it's quite common with emerging economies that you have kind of foreigners swoop in. They think they can fix everything. They probably have better channels to funding, and then they give it a go. The management structures are probably a blend of foreigners and then, of course, the local high caliber Filipino talent. How would you describe your experiences with you know, startup management and Philippine talent in the upper echelons of the executive talent.
Sure. I wouldn't say that this is something that only happens in the Philippines, Derek, because funny enough, every time that I go back to Brazil or when I visit my friends in other countries in Latin America, it is the same profile. So what happens if you see the unicorns in Brazil are also founded by Colombians or from Spanish or from by Americans. So what I think that actually happens in the ecosystem of startups is that you, and then you see the same trend in America, that there are several researches and articles mentioning the amount of immigrants or companies that are founded by either immigrants or second generation of immigrants. So I think it's less related to the fact of being a foreigner or not, but being detached and free from boundaries in the way that things can be done. So it's either someone that is coming from another country where the solution is already there, or you don't have any kind of bias to solve the problem that is so obvious for whoever is trying to solve that problem. But for people that are surrounded by that environment for so many years and so used to things being the way that they were always in their lives, they don't really see how they can action on or how they can create some sort of business on top of a problem. So I don't think it's something necessarily related to the Philippines or to emerging economies. I think it's much more related to the fact that you have a less biased type of approach towards the solutions that you're trying to bring.
That's a great point, actually, isn't it? Even in the US, there's a lot of immigrants that have, even 20, 40, 60 years ago, it's commonly the immigrants that break through and make real successes of them. And probably that trend is continuing through the startup and VC kind of practices. But it is something that, you know, I'm always observant of in most countries, that it seems to be sort of infiltrated initially by foreigners. And, you know, we both, Leticia and I, you know, we both know that there's a lot of highly talented Filipino talent that, as you say, they don't necessarily have the worldly kind of perspective on things, but now they have 10, 15, almost 20 years of experience in fast-growing, fast-moving startups. And these people themselves become very proficient, very capable professionals in whatever vertical they're in. How do you see the Filipino talent growing up alongside the startup ecosystem?
I think the Filipino workforce is so well positioned, Derek, for this new wave of remote work that is happening. We always discuss that I wish Brazil had English as the official language, because that's so powerful for a developing economy. You basically bring it, because it doesn't matter if like the talents in Brazil are awesome and also cost effective or elsewhere, but we don't understand the language. So what I think is that the Philippines has all the ingredients to be positioned as like top in class of workforce in this remote work that I'm sure that will be like the norm going forward, now that we tested under the pandemic, and it's pretty much the rule now, right? So I'm really looking forward to a lot to work side by side with the government in order to really put the Philippines in the map of the VC scene. So I want the Philippines to be top of mind when I'm talking to venture capital investors or alternative lenders, and they think about the Philippines as a country that has a very high skill type of workforce. So I want to have some sort of exposure to that market. Because basically when the country grows, the whole startup and fintech ecosystem naturally grows as well. So I think it's a very promising future for the Philippines. It's super exciting to be here.
And just to give context to our foreign audience, people that are living overseas and exploring outsourcing, the level of English in the Philippines is just crazy. And it's hard to put it in context, considering that the Philippines is, you know, smack bam in the middle of Asia. It's obviously an Asian population. They have their own, you know, state language, which is Tagalog, plus another about 100 dialects and languages. So this is, you know, most definitely a foreign language, but everywhere you go is English, isn't it? Everything is in English.
Correct. No, and Derek, things that are important is like regulation. When there is a central bank release, you understand because everything is in English. So if you want to work with a Vietnamese company and then there is a regulation from the central bank, you don't understand anything. So like these small type of frictions on a daily basis that really are facilitated by the fact that the Philippines is an English-speaking country, huh?
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? And employment contracts and all of
the
general commercial contracts. And so, of course, you know, over the last year, everyone has been through COVID, and I think we're really realizing what remote work means and the opportunity for remote work. How has that affected you, your lifestyle, your professional career? How have you reflected on that?
Well, I think for specifically our business in the fintech industry, it obviously affected productivity of like belonging, because this is something that you and I, we discuss a lot, how concerning it is like the next years or the last year or so for kids that are just leaving school and go into the workforce without having that environment of an office or the discipline of waking up and going to the office and just having your routine. So of course I was affected by that, but we are in a completely digitalized type of business. So my workforce is already distributed across the world. We try as much as possible to have people in a time zone friendly, but we were working with people from the US for more than 6 months. So I think in terms of my specific lifestyle, of course I miss the office environment. I miss going out for a coffee with my colleagues, with my team, but we find our workarounds on that regard. So and it's just a matter of ensuring that you have all the policies and all the processes in place, focus on cybersecurity, focus on having the safest environment as possible, because by the end of the day in my industry we are in financial services, so we're dealing with people's money. So it's really a very serious type of business, right? So, I think these are the main aspects to the change to a more digital world, just ensuring that we have all the processes and procedures in place to ensure a safe environment for the business. Of course, you end up losing, and this was probably something that really affected me, you lose agility. So you lose like how fast you get to the same consensus or how fast you deliver things. So I was used to sprints on a weekly basis. That's not the case anymore, right? So I can't wait until we have this vaccine
and things go back to normal and we can go to the office once again.
As we become more, I suppose, natively remote or natively digital, and also the startup ecosystem is becoming more globalized, the VC ecosystem is becoming more globalized, all of us in business listen to the same podcasts globally. We check into the same startup news sources, read the same blogs, you know, follow the same people on Twitter, and it is a global economy. Do you see more opportunity for the export of Philippine talent to Silicon Valley, to New York, to London? And, you know, do you think that eventually, this is a loaded question, but do you think that eventually, you know, the Philippine talent, which is typically at a phenomenal, 80, 90% discount to what you would pay in Silicon Valley, can soon be recognized by people in Silicon Valley that it's all part of the same startup global community? And then, you know, there's opportunities for everyone in that to globalize the talent pool.
For sure. So what I think is going to happen, and here I am with my crystal ball, but what I think is going to happen is that we're going to have this blend between remote work and face-to-face work, where we still, like, we still value a lot the physical interaction with the team, but we don't have boundaries in terms of not accepting full-time employees remotely anymore. We have several examples of companies that were born and grew a lot like this. So just to name a few, Stripe and the web provider that I forgot the name now.
WordPress.
Correct. So they... Basically, we don't have the misconception that remote work doesn't work anymore. I'm not sure if the talents here, they will not want to have this experience of moving abroad, because I think that's part of like a journey of ambitious individuals in general. You want to see what's outside, but you don't necessarily want to leave your home country. So as we know, in the Philippines, we have this massive market of exporting OFWs, which are the offshore Filipino workers, that would, they are like a very strong and qualified workforce. But unfortunately, the local market cannot absorb that. So they necessarily need to move abroad. I think what's going to happen is that these talents are going to have the opportunity to stay, because basically they're going to be able to tackle the same opportunities that the world is offering. But they are also going to be able to be based here in the Philippines, close to their family, close to their life. And another item that I think is quite important to mention, Derek, is that the talents here in the Philippines, they tend to be very proud about the country, and they tend to fight a lot about things that they disagree. So I think they would probably be, along with the ability to have this offshore experience, not necessarily needing to move abroad, but also to develop the country, to build the wealth and the progressive skill set by just exporting best practices from first world countries. So I definitely think it's going to be much easier for these opportunities to rise locally.
Yeah, it's interesting what you raised about the Filipino OFWs, and you know, historically, the Filipinos have been exporting their people or their services or their Filipino talent since about the 1970s. And, you know, they're commonly seen on cruise ships, their domestic staff, but also their engineers, you know, their doctors, their highly skilled people have been exported across the globe for about 50 years now. And then we see that with the second iteration, which is the digitization of the workforce, and now we have, you know, the second largest outsourcing population in the Philippines that can service the globe, but from their own homes. So it's just a maturation and continuation of the same thing that the Philippines has really been excelling at for the last 50 years. And again, it's quite amazing. It's so possible. It's so achievable because of the English language of the Philippines, the high literacy rates, the high education rates, and just the general competency of the people, and also the personality of the people. It's
really
quite unique, I think.
Correct. As I mentioned, this factory of having accountants that were basically being trained to go to Canada or being trained to go to the US. So if they have the opportunity to be working in companies that you would be basically, because what do they want? They want the challenge. They want that to go to the next level. They want to experience and to develop themselves up to the highest level that you can have. And that's naturally abroad, right? Coming from a developing country myself as well. So if they have the opportunity to face this type of challenges locally, so being trained and being challenged by the same standards that we see in developed economies, of course they will either decide to stay, or it will basically increase the amount of people that are having those opportunities.
And so you are the VP of Finance at Uploan. It is a fintech, so there's pretty heavy finance involved in this organization. Specifically, Uploan focuses on payday loans, which is, you know, a sort of major issue in the Philippine economy and with the Philippine workforce, in that typically payday loans are sort of all too common, unfortunately, and people are forced to go to pawn shops and less loan sharks and unregulated loans. And so, you know, it's a fintech initiative of Uploan to try and make that better. Can you speak to that and the opportunity? Because that actually segues quite well into the BPO community, which is actually one of a big client focus for you, isn't it? So how is Uploan positioning itself, and how does it benefit the consumer?
Sure. So Uploan, in a nutshell, we are a salary loans provider, and we want to be the best in class in terms of employee benefits management towards the employer. So we say that we are in this B2B2C business, where my client is the employer, but my ultimate customer will be the employee. So we have this very blended type of business model where we need to focus on the employee and on the employer as well. But on the specific problem that we're trying to solve now, the fact that the managing data for, and this is an issue across the board, managing data for financial accreditation to provide credit to anyone is a pain. Especially in countries where you are not so digitalized, which is the case of the Philippines. It's hard to have like a one source of truth for your personal identification. It's hard to have like this central repository of information on consumers. We struggle to have that on businesses. So imagine on the consumer level. So basically what Uploan is trying to solve is to create this fair access to credit to people that have a good credit history, but for the lack of ability of traditional players, or let's say the banks, on not being able to read well or process in an efficient manner these data points that are available, they basically decide not to provide the loans, which ends up giving the employee the only option that are those predatory lenders. So Uploan is basically trying to apply technology in order to provide, in order to make this whole underwriting process more efficient and just pass through these efficiency gains that we have on making the underwriting process more efficient towards the final employee, having better interest rates. And by the end of the day, as you mentioned, Derek, the salary loans here in the Philippines and this whole financial education and financial wellness, which is really part of like the core of the culture of Uploan, is almost an employee benefit for the employer. We usually say that we are trying to replace the usage of a credit card with our products, but at the same time we provide this whole infrastructure on the financial wellness ecosystem. So we ourselves also have a podcast. We provide trainings, webinars, articles, tips on for employees to know how to build a budget, how to manage for manage your finances for emergencies. So there is this whole umbrella of services that we are providing. And you're correct, it's an extremely financial heavy business, not only on the traditional corporate finance and accounting side, but also on the ongoing fundraising, the financial operations, disbursements, accounts receivables. It keeps me busy.
Sure. And for anyone out there that is in outsourcing, if you have a team in the Philippines, if you work with a BPO, then payday loans are unfortunately such a normal part of the situation here. And so is predatory lending. And if you've worked, you know, you might have VAs, you might have Philippine staff, but it is so commonplace for them to need loans. There is not the same sort of social security systems, social safety nets. And commonly, you know, the requirement for loans goes up to the employer, whether that be a BPO or you directly as the client. And so, you know, and if you say no, then what are their alternatives? But should you be forced to necessarily give loans to your staff? So it can become a tricky situation. And organizations like Uploan are good because obviously it stops predatory lending. It's proper regulated space. They're, you know, high on customer service and education. So it is a kind of win-win. So if you do have staff out there, you know, it is a reality that your staff will be looking at payday loans, considering payday loans, or already have a number of payday loans. And, you know, Uploan is more B2B, but if you work with a BPO, then, you know, ask them what policies they have in place if the staff need loans, because inevitably it happens. And, you know, those awkward conversations come up, and then it's a difficult decision for clients, for you, if you know, it's kind of an ethical dilemma whether you lend money or don't lend money, or are there different systems. So Uploan is definitely a fantastic solution.
For sure. And what I would suggest, because that's something that we saw with a few clients in our portfolio, is to move away from exactly what you mentioned, this awkward conversations. Just leave it with us to provide the full solution that is going to be, and also coming from the head of finance where we have to process payroll, we make as smooth as possible the whole process on visibility of how many employees are applying for loans, the whole deduction process on the payroll, the courses that we are providing. It is seen as I mentioned, as an employee benefit. And especially here in the BPO industry in the Philippines, the employees, they tend to be loyal to employers that provide investment on their career. So it's much less towards the monetary type of returns, but much more on the sense of belonging. And by that, we mean items related to culture, to investments and training, to the environment. So we saw many companies that were working with us that were initially doing the salary loans themselves because there was such a natural need for the workforce here. And then they decided to basically switch that off and just bring the solution to our platform and just focus on their core business, whatever is the business. So that's definitely a very wise advice, Derek.
And again, you know, I just find it's a great synergy because, of course, the outsourcing industry is one of the most affluent industries within the Philippines. It pays very high salaries compared to, you know, the average within the Philippines. It employs a huge number of people, over 1.5 million people in the Philippines. So, you know, it's a major industry, major employer, and they have a significant requirement for these kind of services. So it's great to see these synergies. And, you know, again, this is the upside of startups, of fintechs. They see an opportunity, something that can and should be improved, and then they kind of swoop in and attend to those issues. So it's great to see. Thank you so much, Leticia. How did you enjoy that podcast with me?
That was fun. Yeah, it was super interesting to have like this more formal and structured discussion of things that we discuss on an ongoing basis. So thank you so much for the invite, Derek.
Leticia, it's always a delight. And of course, if anyone wants to find out more about Uploan as well, we better point them there.
Yeah. So we do have a website, and we are also present in all social media. So you can find us on LinkedIn, but definitely our website will be the best source to find us. So uploan.ph, and you can find someone from the BizDev department there to help you out on solutions and salary loans and financial wellness to your employees.
Leticia, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Derek.
That was Leticia Souza. She is the VP of Finance at Uploan. If you want to get in touch with Leticia or know any more about Uploan, of course, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.